You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Our words of wisdom are from Octavia E. Butler's All That You Touch. All that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change. God is change. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Over history, mystics and prophets have been found in all of the higher religions and have often adapted with the change. Most of these mystics and prophets naturally have the convictions of the faith that are native or familiar to them. And in post-exile, we found that Judaism and its emphasis on law actually began to change, and now there wasn't much place for mystics or prophecy. And because of that change, the tradition changed and began to be channeled through the teaching of the mystics or prophets' words. What remained of the prophetic activity ended up being expressed in literary works that claimed the knowledge of a divine purpose. These mystics and prophets often placed a greater emphasis upon predictive speculation about our future, more so than it did about trying to analyze or provide insight into our history. So, what does a mystic look like during our time here in this space and place? Well, let me introduce you to one of my favorites. It's science fiction writer Octavia E. Butler. Octavia Butler was a writer of science fiction who's known for bringing in her African and African-American spiritualism, mysticism, and mythology into her novels and stories. And the series of the books that I'm using today for this sermon is based off of the Parables. And it's a series that has surged in popularity in recent years because of the need to make sense of the chaos that we are experiencing. Parable of the Sower, the first book of the series, was originally published in 1993. And the novel takes place during an election year in the early 2020s in the United States, where food and water are scarce and the police serve only the rich and themselves. Fires are ravaging California and hurricanes are battering the Gulf Coast, and racial conflict is even more volatile. In this series of books, extreme wealth disparities are exacerbated by the corporations that pocket profits while keeping their employees severely underpaid. The sole science fiction attribute in the parable book is this presence of a psychosomatic malady called hyperempathy. And hyperempathy in the book is caused by a contact with a toxic prescription drug while the baby is in the womb. And it ends up causing its sufferers to falsely experience the sight of another's pain as their own. But the rest of Octavia Butler's writing is most certainly prophecy and not fantasy. In her earnest attempt to imagine the failing of the 21st century, as we all are currently living in it, has moved many to look at this text as more than just a prophecy. But in her personal journal, Butler admits that it's the poetry that drives the Earthseed religion that actually mirrors the style of daily affirmations of self-help and self-hypnosis that we often engage in through our ritual and faith practices. And in her books, she gives us the practice, and then she gives us a case study after case study of how our imaginary futures will be and how we must behave in them. In the parable of the sower, we are introduced to Earthseed. Earthseed is a new religion founded by a young Black woman, the main character, Lauren Olamina, who is living in the failing California of the 2020s. And Earthseed, the religion, is organized around one central proposition, and that is the inevitability of change and the consequent need to be adaptable and flexible in response to that change. The premise of the faith, as it's presented, is in short lyrical verses throughout the book. and that God is change, and that humans can shape God through forethought and our work. Ultimately, Lauren, the main character, said that Earthseed's destiny is to take root among the stars. And this fictional faith found within the book has taken on life beyond the novel. So many people are hungry for the kind of alternative and hopeful theological imagination that Octavia Butler presents in these books, as well as the alternative form of leadership and community that so many of us crave. And that hopeful theological imagination can be found at the very start of the book in chapter one. And it begins with God is power, infinite, irresistible, inexorable, and yet God is pliable, trickster, teacher, chaos, clay. God exists to be shaped. God is change. So much has happened in our lives in the past 18 months to where our sense of self, our sense of community, and what makes us feel safe has all changed. And I've been wondering, has the way that each of us has changed during this distinct time in our history been led by fear? Fear of the unknown, fear of death, fear of life, fear that we know others are going without but not quite sure how to help, fear of change, and so on and so on. But what happens to us in society when something is led by fear? You know, my experiences as I slowly emerge from quarantine are into spaces where there are large groups of people who are wanting with the best intentions and are trying to help people without actually including those people or asking the people, what has changed for you in your life? In these spaces, I've experienced way too many moments of frustration and consternation and moments of unlove. And what the pandemics of COVID-19, race, and socioeconomics have appeared to teach us, at least me, is that when we do hunker down, we end up emerging by screaming at one another, whether that be in person, through social media, or even our emails. And that we seem to always want to choose, perhaps it's because we're still learning, we're fighting back against that inertia of going back to the way things were. But we seem to choose fear and to live in a world where we believe that everything is scarce. And when we are in that fear, scarcity, and resistance to change mode, historically, we make someone or something the other. We fight each other. We don't forgive each other. But I believe that we can use our personal experiences of the last 18 months to begin to slow down, to be more present, and to examine our relationship to God, one another, and even to change and fear. And two really important questions that I want you to think about today and the week moving forward. Does fear shape you or your actions? And if so, how can you change? Because friends, the most radical thing we can do is to change. And in the parable of the sower, Lauren's mantra is, all that you change changes you. And the only lasting truth is change. Throughout all of Octavia Butler's books, she talks more about what God is and less about God as. If God is, according to Butler, then this means that God might be able to change or even be the change itself. God is actually asks us to rethink our relationship with God. To make sense of this or these ideas of change, I want to propose a few ways to look at it. For example, the first thing you could look at is how you first came to know God. When did you first know God? And how have you come to know God now? What has changed? How has it impacted us? Another way to look at it is, how has our relationship to ritual and or prayer changed over the last 18 months? You know, before COVID, I used to think that in faith circles or when doing community work, that we always believed there was the others that needed to be changed. But in reality, in 2020, I think it's demonstrated just how much we are all impacted by the work and interaction that we have with one another, that what changes you, thus changes me. And over the more recent months, I've been thinking a lot about a visioning project for the church. And I've been thinking about the impact and what the role of the church is beyond the digital or the Sunday. And one of the things that keeps coming up for me is, how do we get to experience church should actually mean that we can be in a space where God helps to keep company with us. To keep company with us to help us better understand what it means to be in relationship with ourselves while being in the dark moments of life. How do we not run from our problems but embrace them? How do we keep company with God? How does God keep company with us when we ask ourselves the questions of, what happens if the state of what we're in right now just continues and continues? What happens if we don't address the things that matter? And what happens if we don't turn our attention to the climate crisis? What happens if we don't really, really contend with our comfort, with inequality, with hierarchy? What happens to us then? Octavia Butler stated once that her novels are not prophetic. My novels are cautionary tales. And if we're not careful, if we carry on as what has been, this is what we might end up with. She continues with, you have to think about what kind of world you want to live in. And I don't think there's a person alive who would want to live in the world that I've written about. But we can arrange it, and we're doing it. She concludes with, the problems that I write about are the problems that we can do something about. That's why I write about them. What is being written about during the last 18 months, and how does it inform what we care about? And what have we changed in our lives to show others what we care about? I would hope, reading through the parable of the sower, is that we learn how to examine our own hyper-empathy, to examine what we've begun to normalize, to examine the relationships that we have with someone who believes differently than us, and to critically examine the actual change that happens by just having conversations about what to do, about the concentration camps along the border, the Me Too movement, the attacks on our reproductive justice rights, the attack on race, those experiencing homelessness, and the poor. Is having conversation enough? Especially when those conversations become political, which actually create a barrier to becoming more human. And should our conversations or our actions around the dignity of humanity ever, ever be political? Despite what we think, friends, we are all here because we all participate and participated. But now we can change. The pandemics of COVID, race, and socioeconomics have given us the opportunity to train our attention to ourselves and then to the outside world, to engage with all of the elements among us. We can affect change in the ways that allow for change to touch us and help us to improve, to help us become more human and more human and more human. Because each of us is responsible to bring something to and for the greater good. And sometimes that happens because we have embraced change. Contemporary public scholar and current mystic, who studies Octavia Butler's work in depth, Adrienne Marie Brown states that Butler's visionary fiction writing is a practice that we can use to imagine and prepare for the future together, to generate the ideas that we want to see more of in the world. And Octavia E. Butler teaches us to embrace change. She uses literary devices to help us see the many ways that change can take root. Change in the way we survive. Change in the way we see one another. Change in our relationship to power. Change in the way we pray. And change in what connects us to God and to one another. For God, in the end, is change. God prevails. But God exists to be shared, and it's not enough for us to just survive playing business as usual as things get worse and worse. For if that's the shape we give God, then someday we might become too weak, too poor, too sick, and too tired to survive. Does or can our faith or practices of religion help us see that change is possible and necessary? Pope Francis has been quoted recently when he said that we are not in an era of change, that we are in the change of an era. Think about that. We are not in an era of change, but in the change of an era. Here's a spoiler alert for those of you who have yet to read the parable of the sower and the parable of the talents. But the readers end up discovering that achieving Earthseed's destiny, despite Lauren's dreams, hasn't actually solved the problem of the human at all. It's only extended our confrontation with the very difficult problems that drove its development in the first place. The difference is now they're removed to another world where they can take some other form. So 'tis time, Lauren Olamina says in the book. Prodigy is at its essence adaptability and persistent positive obsession. And without persistence, what remains is the enthusiasm of that moment only. And without adaptability, what remains might actually be channeled into a destructive fanaticism. And without positive obsession, then there is nothing at all. Change doesn't happen overnight is one of the biggest lies told to people fighting for progress. Bailouts come faster than stimulus checks. Bombs come faster than food. Arrests happen more quickly than releases. And it is just a lie that we can no longer tolerate. For those who perpetrate those lies actually never change their hearts or minds. When I picked up this book at first, I didn't realize that I was looking for a wisdom. But I was. And I found it in the invitation to read new types of stories about changing in the most turbulent of times. And Octavia Butler's stories are sometimes beautiful and sometimes brutal, but they are used to show us that the dreams of change can happen. We just have to be in right relationship with it. So as you move forward through the week, I hope that you take time to learn about how you experience your belief, your relationship in and with God. To learn how we can better love one another, to organize about our values and not our hurt, and to live more intentionally by embracing change. The destiny of Earthseed is to take root among the stars. Now, friends, go and enjoy the journey. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.